D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. We hope you are having a wonderful Thursday, a stress-free start to your commute home. Joining us via Zoom, our dear friend, Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow on OutKick. Hi, Hutton. How are you?
I am wonderful. One of my favorite visits of the week here. Always enjoy coming on the show with you guys.
Well, we appreciate the kind words. So you conducted, along with Chad Withrow, an interview with Tony Vitello when you were at the Super Bowl. And Vitello seemed to step in it earlier this week when he brought up the end of his tenure at Tennessee unprompted during a random news conference at Giants spring training. What did you think of that news conference? Is there any part of you that is concerned about how his transition to the big leagues is going to go?
The only concern I would have, and the only reason why I was hesitant to be like, yeah, he's going to crush it in MLB, is how he relates to the players, right? Instead of going directly to the player, he's going to have to go to a translator, for instance. You know, there's a middleman in some cases. He acknowledged that with us in the chat that we had with him. He references Tennessee a lot. I mean, that's his background, really his backbone of coaching. That's his success story. That's why he is where he is. Eventually he's going to have enough experiences of his own in Major League Baseball to reference something else, but that's his reference point right now. Some would call it a crutch. He's hired because of that though. And until he produces results, everyone's going to question him. Even those that want to give him a chance are saying we shouldn't have to ask these questions about whether or not he's ready. I hope he does have success because it opens the door for a lot more possibilities than some of the retreads that we see in coaching across the board. It's not just baseball, but the fact we haven't seen this happen before is kind of crazy to me, given some of the successes that we've seen from baseball managers at the college level compared to the pros, and the relationships that some can have and forge. I think that's key. Vitello's got to have that relationship with the players. As long as it comes across genuine to them, I think he'll be fine.
I just thought, from a journalistic standpoint, I was putting myself in the shoes of the reporters who were there covering Giants spring training. I thought it was an unforced error by Tony Vitello because he came prepared to talk about that. Nobody asked him about the reporting surrounding the end of his tenure at Tennessee. It must have been on his mind, and he walked up there and sat on the bench knowing that that's what he wanted to discuss. And when we were discussing,
and he discussed it with us too, by the way.
He's talking about how things went.
Yeah, sure.
And wouldn't you say, Hutt, for your audience, it's relevant, but for the San Francisco Giants media, I'm not sure it's relevant anymore.
Agreed. I don't know. Look, to be fair to this, did he receive a question or was it
no?
He showed up to his news conference. He sat down on the bench and he said, when did y'all think I was taking this job?
He started
and
like that.
And then just
really
went
weird
with a TikTok of everything, not like the website TikTok, but a timeline.
Right.
A TikTok of all of the reporting and what actually happened leading up to his departure from Knoxville. It was just strange that was what he was fixated on that
day.
Yeah,
and he knew we were going to get into that before we even chatted with him or walked up to the stadium that day. He's clearly got a lot that he wants to get off his chest, that's for sure. I think it's apparent this was not an easy decision for him. And if we're just being human about it, the fact that he's still talking about it tells me it's still in his mind and he's still contemplating whether or not he made the right call.
Am
I wrong in thinking that? If I'm him and I'm still doing this and harping on it, I'm still trying to convince myself as to why I left.
He made a cryptic comment during the course of that news conference. He's like, I'm paraphrasing here. He's like, maybe it would have changed the course of history if I had known who leaked the information. Something along those lines. Like, that's
a
strange thing to say.
Yeah.
Is he suggesting that if he had found out who leaked the news, he wouldn't have left Tennessee? Like,
well, he was that a Saturday? There was a Saturday where all this stuff got out and he had not, I don't believe he had even addressed the team yet to that point. And there was a basketball game or a football game, something going on. I can't remember the timetable here, guys, where there was a game on campus. He was going to the game and ended up not going after not being able to address his team. There was something with the timing of all that that he doesn't feel like was just coincidence. Let's put it that way. And that's really what bummed him out after what he had done with his team and what the team meant to him.
We were just discussing the Darren Peterson situation at Kansas, yeah, which has been getting a lot of attention today.
He tapped out again?
He did tap mm-hmm. out again last night. Is this a byproduct of the NIL era? That a star player can sort of call a shot and say, hey, I'm done.
In basketball, I just view it different because I'm used to seeing these guys kind of take time off in the NBA. If this were football, this would be very jarring to me. The fact that it's hoops, it should be. The NIL era has allowed it to take place now, maybe in a more prominent position in college basketball. But I have to say, I'm kind of used to seeing this on the hardwood, given the fact that we have the load management or you're trying to improve that now. And in the NBA, it's been a huge problem. This is just straight business now. Still, it's not a good look. It doesn't make me think that this guy's got a great business acumen because he's doing the load management thing over and over and over again. At the same time, he's with a program that's known for playing great basketball and having great guys on the bench. I don't know why they continue to put up with it, given the fact that it's such a distraction.
Well, they have to put up with it because they're star players and the players.
Well, I know he's the number one guy. Yeah,
the players, whether it's men or women, and I understand you don't see this on the women's side much, if at all, but they understand they got the juice right now. And if you want to obtain one of these individuals, these guys, these five-star guys, guys that are projected to go high in the draft, then it's almost like you got to placate them. You have to.
Mace, you made it to a level that.
But that I can't. But this is old sports.
Will ever make
that was old sports.
But it's still the same mentality, though. You made it to the level based on your mentality of how you approached the game and how you trained. And I mean, you took a skill that was fantastic, and you made it into a career.
Like, but what the
some guys possess the skill set, but never achieve their ultimate goal.
No, you're absolutely right. That, but what the professional leagues have taught these minor leagues, because that's what they are, is that you need to care more about your body than anything else. I give you max 100% when I'm on the court, but when I tap and say I need out, I want out. It happens in football a lot, whether you know it or not. We see guys tapping their helmet all the time. Why? True. Because they go three or four plays, they get out. Instead of old school, I didn't want to come out. But I that was my mentality, because that was the mentality of everybody. The mentality of the majority here is, let me load management. Why? Because the NFL has taught me, I mean, the NBA has taught me, this is what you do, is you load management.
I think
management.
A lot of it, too, is agent related.
Yeah.
In the old era, the old sports that you're saying, you were going for the 4, 5, 6-year contract. Mm-hmm. Now it's going for the 2 or 3-year deal, trying to get another signing bonus before you turn 30. You know, and you leave a year early from college instead of wait a year. That way you get your second contract a year faster than you would if you waited for one more year in college. Those are all factors that guys are being told to pay attention to. Is there a rhyme or reason to when he's sitting out with these ankle injuries or the tightness or the quad problems, or are there specific is there a pattern, or is this very random?
I think it's random. It's not predetermined. That's the other thing that Seth Davis made this point on social media, and that he said, when you say load management, usually that is a predetermined
thing.
Okay, I'm going to play this game, but I'm going to sit the next one out.
Right, you're monitoring minutes, and I got you.
And it has not been like this. It's been within games he's taken himself out. He couldn't play against Arizona, a huge game. He had the flu.
He said he had the flu.
Had the flu. So there's just a lot of odd stuff, and they're not up front with what the program is. Like, if you have a program and it is load management, then talk about it. Let everybody know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the secrecy is about it.
I just don't. In today's – in basketball, in such a the team-building aspect of it, they won that game against Arizona anyway, I believe.
They did.
The fact that they did that, I would listen to my roster in my locker room. I mean, are they okay with this? Because they're clearly not following.
That's a great question.
But that's one game compared to three or four in the tournament.
I wouldn't be. If I were in that locker room, I would not be.
They're talented enough to win. They're beat Arizona without him. Like, to me, it's more of a gel. I would, if I'm Bill Self, I mean, I've got to be careful about what I say with a dude who says he's injured. Because, I mean, it's tough to just play doctor. Especially with everything that, you know, anybody that says they're hurt, they're hurt. But I tend to say, guys, let's huddle up. And what do you guys want? What does my leadership and my team think about this? If they embrace him, they do that. If not, I mean, again, they're talented enough to win without him. And this could actually be something that propels them forward. It doesn't hold them back. It depends on what the internal vibe is versus what we're skeptical of on the outside.
You know why they're not going to say anything? Because those guys on that bench are just like him. And they're hoping that, okay, you want to take 3 or 4 minutes off? That means now I play. Because otherwise, I'm not getting out there on the court. So I'm sure everybody that's behind him, they're like, good. For me, that's more playing time. For me, that's another opportunity to what?
Yeah.
Earn more money by showing them that I can play. So they're not going to complain.
Think about being an NBA coach now, dealing with this. No way, man. I don't even know why I've got the job.
I mean, is it harder in the NBA or is it
probably
now
same.
Getting to that level in college when you have this? It's a really interesting question, how you deal with it if you're the coach. I wonder, Hud, if that is a little bit why we're seeing some of the guys going old school and lighting
it's
them up
off.
Publicly. I wonder if it's related at all.
It depends who the coach is, Willie. Like Mick Cronin, come on, man.
Yeah, he's been doing this for 20 years. So
Mick Cronin
think
is here. Upset about the meals on the team plane flying back cross country. You know, like I don't. It just depends the coach to me, and how much we've heard from certain coaches before. And this is why we're seeing coaches opt for the CBS studio more so than being on the baseline coaching against an opponent while we watch the game on CBS. It is a 24/7, 365 job. And then you actually get to the moment where you get to coach and you still have to deal with this on the last minute deal. The anxiety that would come with whether or not your full team's going to be there and locked in for a big game, just in Kansas's standpoint, or is Peterson going to play tonight or not? We don't know. It's the morning of the game. We don't know. Is he going to cramp up? Is he not? What does the team doctor say? What's he saying now? Middle of the game too, as you come up with a strategy and you're down by four with, you're going to the second half down by four at halftime. Is this dude going to be there for you? That's why I would lean towards just trying to galvanize the rest of my team more than placating to him. But I would love to see the contract that he's under with Kansas. What are the details of that?
That's a good question. People have wondered. Hut, let's switch gears. We had a discussion earlier today about Breece Hall with the previous history with Robert Saleh. Do you think that's a fit? And would it be worth, we know it would be a pretty decent investment if you went down that road.
Yes. Look, I think there's a very specific way that we'll see Dable utilize the running backs. And given the fact that Spears has had the injury history that he's had, I think they need to go that path through the draft, that path through free agency. But I think this is more about making sure that the offensive line is as a one-piece unit, a unified group as possible this offseason, than going after a one or two big-name tailbacks. Looking at the teams that have won the Super Bowls recently, how they're built, it's not like they lead the league in rushing or – quite frankly, it's not like they come close to it during the regular season. Dable's going to use the run to control the pace of games, and it's going to benefit his quarterback, Cam Ward, getting out of the pocket, having an option outside of the pocket and passing downs as well. Breece Hall's that dude, but I don't think you have to break the bank at the position to go Breece Hall or Kenneth Walker III in order to have success running the football. I think you can do that with Tony Pollard, for instance, and I think you can do that going through the draft and having Tajay Spears as another running back to have a 1-2 punch. Breece Hall to me is more of the bell cow type system, and I think in terms of what Saleh did offensively, I think it's more about what Brian Daboll wants on his offense, having the autonomy to build that group the way he wants to.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow has been our guest on DMA's Vingan and Donick. He joins us every week on the program. Hutton, as always, great stuff. We'll catch up next week.
You guys ready for arm length and hand size?
No. No. God, no.
His arms are...
Hey, have you guys heard
his
that?
His hands are.
He has a 9-inch hands.
Have you heard that Reuben Bain's arms are small? Have you heard this?
Oh, you're going to hear a bunch
of this.
Have
you seen this? Have you heard
his
about
arms
this?
Arms are short.
I've heard it too much already.
Yes.
I mean, look, I get it. Is the NFL Combine next week?
Yes, it is.
Oh, God. But I know that this is part of the process, but like we're measuring dudes' arms and hands. I mean, come on. It's a little weird. I get it. We got to get all the information we need. But Reuben Bain's short arms, that's somebody's fantasy team name for next season. I guarantee it.
Sure. Hey, real quick, can I just a question to pose, and maybe we can come up with this before the end of the week.
Sure.
What is a great number if we get USA Canada gold medal and it's 8 a.m. on Sunday morning live?
So if
is
I,
it 8
a.m. Sunday morning
seven,
live?
It's what? 7 a.m. Central, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. I believe it's 8. Man. I believe it's 8 a.m. Eastern.
And I'm not trying to say it's going to be bad. I'm saying like I'm discussing it because it's carryover from the Four Nations face-off. Like I think if it's promoted right, this could be something that's really interesting just to follow to see how many people wake up and do this.
So if I recall correctly, Hutton, the average viewership of the Four Nations face-off final between USA and Canada was around 9.3, 9.4, 9.5.
It was the most watched game on ESPN ever, right?
Yeah, yeah, and I think it peaked at more than 10 million. So is the game on over the air NBC?
I think it would be.
Okay,
I would hope so.
Yeah, it's not on Peacock or USA or whatever. At 7 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Eastern.
5 a.m. Pacific?
They should put it free on Peacock so people can drive to church and watch this thing. Like, I'm serious. Like,
I would say, I mean, I would like them to get back to the number they got for the Four Nations face-off, but that was on ESPN, and I believe that was in primetime, right?
Yeah, and they'll air this in primetime, too.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, if you know in advance that the United States wins, you're tuning in for the replay anyway.
That's a
but
good
sports
point.
But sports is such a DVR-proof branch of the media tree that I'm curious to see how many people want to watch it live. I would be one that would wake up and watch this live, and I few and far between when it comes to matches or games that would make me want to do that. This would be one of them.
Let's continue this conversation. Hutton, thanks for a great idea.
Yeah, sorry. You guys would know, not me.
It's a great idea. We'll continue this on the other side. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.